Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I called the witch doctor. He told me what to do. He said, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, wah, wah, bing, bang.
That means play Dr. Mario on Game Boy or NES.
The answer's better with that, man. Today!
Pressure? Try Wario's Woods, the new action puzzle where stuff's hurling down on you, in on you, and Wario is all over you. Only for Nintendo.
Jeez.
You mixed them up. I like it.
Combo. It's a combo. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And this is, of course, Play Retro. And I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And I prefer, I don't know why I'm getting redundant
Welcome.
Here. I prefer matching up forest crap and creatures rather than siding with big pharma and dispensing too much medication to young kids. Mario says, do drugs. Wario says, push around and mash up forest stuff. Anyway, can't we all just get along? Where's Waluigi? F that dork.
Oh, poor Waluigi. Oh, where's his game at? And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, not Waluigi. And I think this plumber is posing as a pill-pushing physician with no regard for my safety. I mean, he uses a magnifying glass to detect little dancing viruses in my body. Or so he says. I don't see nothing. Maybe a few more pills and I can buy into what this pipe boy is selling. Or maybe his evil twin can set me free from this nightmare by stealing me away into his woods of many wonders. And more effing puzzles. Mm. Hello, mushrooms. Now, this is some holistic medicines.
Pipe boy. Oh. I like that.
Thank you, Toad.
Yeah, thanks, Toad. Toad did all the hard work, you know.
Yeah, he did do the work.
Yeah, that
he
second
in,
game.
He put in the hours.
He put in the time. He made it work. And we're here to make it work for you guys. That's right. Today, we're talking about Dr. Mario versus Wario Woods. These were two Tetris-like puzzle games that came out around the time that everybody was still super enamored with things like Tetris and Poi Poi and all those kind of games. This game took it in a different direction, or both these games did. Which one did it better? Mm-hmm. Well, we may have an opinion on that.
Yeah, Mario, Wario, I don't know. We'll find out
soon. We'll find out soon. Before we do, though, a couple of quick things. I was in Las Vegas for a week, and you might say, well, Scott, how did you manage to play Dr. Mario and Wario's Woods without, you know, any trouble or whatever? And I'd love to say, well, I took my Amberneck or I took my Steam Deck, which I did. I took both those devices, but that's not where I played them. I played it all on my phone on the Delta app, which we talked about last week. I really, really, if this hasn't been clear to this point, I really like the Delta app a lot. I think it's very good.
I really like the simplicity of the Delta app, the convenience of the Delta app. I don't like the controls as much, but I am willing to forgive that because it's super convenient right there in my hand. It's in my pocket.
I'm not playing anything that requires lightning reflexes. I can tell you that.
Right.
So,
especially Dr. Mario and Wario's Woods, maybe. I don't. Yeah.
It's pretty slow going until things get hairy, but yeah. It's not even then it's not bad. Like, that is my big recommendation. All of these emulators that are popping up on the App Store out of nowhere all of a sudden and then have been on Android for a long time, just know this: touchscreen control is never optimal, especially if you're talking fast-paced stuff. If you're doing turn-based stuff like Fire Emblem or Advance Wars or any of those kinds of games, it's not only perfectly suitable, I would argue it's the perfect format, because you don't need twitch controls. You just need to be able to navigate around and do stuff, and it's kind of perfect for those. This game kind of straddles that middle a little bit, or these two games. But I wouldn't be playing, I tried to just to see, but I wouldn't be playing Super Mario Brothers 3 on here. It's just a little too much.
Oh.
For touch
screen. I wouldn't be platforming or nothing like that if I could help it. Cause man, trying to get that run and jump,
it's a little tricky. Yeah. Or, just use a, you know, some kind of controller, either Bluetooth it up or get one of those backbones or something. There's lots of ways to make that work. Yeah. It also works really good, by the way, put it on your iPad. So if you got a big old tablet and, you know, a freaking Series S controller or something, fire that up. You get a big screen experience. You got a nice controller going. Works out real good on there. Anyway, oh, look at you with your controller, like we were saying. I like the backlight.
I like this one. This is you've probably seen a million of these at Walmart and other places. This is the Power A thing, you know.
Yeah.
This is their kind of their take on the Elite controller. It's got adjustable crap and everything. Mm-hmm. Plus, it glows in the dark.
Well, yeah, I like that. Backlit is cool.
Mm-hmm. Backlit is pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
Where'd you get that? Walmart has those?
I'm not a big fan of those. Yeah, I think I got it from Walmart. It's not nearly as good as the Elite controller, but, you know, for not the full Elite controller price,
Dude, third-party controllers better than they've ever been, so I have no problem with that. I got all kinds of stuff.
What are you saying? Are you saying that we are in a wonderful time where we don't have to worry about getting mad cats disease?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Even mad cats still exist and they still suck. There are a million other alternatives.
We got to do a mad cats episode, man.
Yeah,
that whole thing was just a kerfuffle. I remember getting the before the S-type controllers for the Xbox really started becoming available everywhere I could get them at, Mad Cats already had their little smaller version of it for my kids, because my kids were like, they were trying to play with the Duke controller and they were like, "Father, help me. It's I'm trapped under the controller." And so, you know, Mad Cats was just a rescue.
Yeah. By the way, this the one you said, Power A, the brand?
Yeah.
Looks like it is made by, hold on, where is this? Who makes this?
They do pretty good. Man, you ought to, if you want to just waste your life, go to Amazon or wherever you want to. Amazon's just a really easy place to do it. Anyway, and look at the Power A Xbox wired controllers.
Yeah.
Because their gimmick is, let's theme all of this stuff. And they must get the license for these things, I'm assuming, but they've got all kinds of just everything you can imagine. And there's a really cute Kirby one and a really cute a little Mario one. There's a whole bunch of really good looking ones, but they're just little wire controllers. $22. They're not that great. They get the job done and they just look good.
They review well. You know, a lot of people like them.
Fine.
The one you have right
the
there.
The price points, right?
The one with the $34 on Amazon for the one you showed. Yeah. That thing has an average of almost perfect score. People like these a lot.
I don't know if that's the same one or not. This is supposed to be like the Elite controller version. This one is a, oh Jesus, what do they call this one? I'm trying to see. I'm so blind. Oh, look, it's got the UK and California on it. Model, oh, small letters, very small letters. XBGPS Xbox One. I don't know. I can't read that.
It says here, let's see, they've only got one that looks like that. So that must be this one.
Right. It might be. Well, if that's the price, that thing's amazing.
$34. Yeah, I'd do this even if I didn't think it was gonna last. That's awesome. I might do that actually. I like collecting controllers. I don't need one. I don't know why I think I need one.
I want to show you one that is just killing me. It's the Power A Enhanced. I don't support or endorse any of these, but I'm going to send it to you, Scott. It's just the most cute, adorable thing. And if you want to show it on screen, that's fine. Here it comes coming in on Discord right
bring
now.
Bring it on. Let's take a look here. What do we got here?
Finger that one. It is a Pikachu electric type, and it's just so freaking cute.
Oh, look at this, chat. This is all right.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of an off-white color, kind of a cream color, but it's got all these, this, what is that, fuchsia? What is that, pink? What is that, salmon? With a nice, cute little Pikachu. But these are all, like, you know, Nintendo-branded stuff.
Are these licensed officially? Because
I'm assuming so, because it's right. They've been doing it forever. They sell them in Walmart. They sell them in Amazon. So I'm assuming
they must be.
Probably most of the price are probably... for most of the cost of this is probably for the licensing rights.
Yeah.
$22.
Oh, people like these. Look, all you have to do is make a decently constructed controller and I'm kind of in. I'm fine. And yeah. I like wired shit because I'm not very far. Yeah. Like most of the stuff I do down here with capture equipment and stuff, I don't care about it being wireless. Let me just plug it in and go.
No.
I like fine. It. What's their whole, do I have a store? Let's see here.
Yeah, I think they have a store there. Look at Brand all Power these. A or whatever.
They all look great. Kirby. Yeah. Got a Kirby one, Xbox, PlayStation. What's the PlayStation one looks like? Do they even, oh, they have.
They look really good.
Okay, they only do charging. They only do charging stations for PlayStation. They don't do an actual PlayStation controller, which makes sense because those have a lot more shit in there to do.
Yeah, plus probably the license and everything else. They're just like trying to find their very niche market, which is half the price of a regular controller with no battery inside it, and probably not even has even vibration or anything. Does it even have that? I don't even know. It's probably just the most basic.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, just it does its job.
Might have to grab one of these and compare.
They just look good. Like I said, I got a couple of Zelda ones I've gotten over the years from the kids and stuff. Like, you know, they're like, I'll say like, I only spend like 20 something bucks on me for Christmas or something. It's like, they'll be going and spend a bunch of money, and they'll go, and they know I'll occasionally look at these when we're somewhere, and they just pick them up, and there you go, father. And I just put it on the shelf and go, there you go.
Well, speaking of which, you picked up an 8-bit do NES themed mouse, which finally arrived. What took it so long?
Yes. Oh, so I got, so remember a while back, I got the 8-bit do NES keyboard, mechanical keyboard, for my birthday. And at the same time, they ordered the mouse, but it was back ordered. So I don't know what took so long, but it finally came in stock and it shipped. And so now I finally have the complete configuration of the keyboard and mouse. And this mouse is kind of neat looking. And at first I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Two buttons. Where's the third mouse wheel?
Yeah, where's your wheel?
It's the D-pad. At first I was like, how's that going to work? But that's what it does. So the D-pad on the side is up and down for your up and down scroll, and then your side to side scroll. And if you're playing some emulation, you can use this and program that to be your little, you know, your little D-pad and everything. Takes a little AAA battery, excuse me.
Yeah.
It's the, whatever, the optical... whatever, I'm pretty sure it's optical.
Just optical, it's not laser.
Whichever one is cheaper.
Yeah.
Whichever one's cheaper.
Yeah. I think it's just optical.
So, you know.
Lasers are expensive.
It's cute.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, look, you got the whole, now you got the whole, you got the complete set. You got the keyboard, you got that.
Yeah, I got the keyboard in my house. Like, where's the keyboard at? It's in my lap. I'm using it right now.
Oh, you're actually using it.
There you go. There's
that. What are you controlling with that thing right now? Anything?
My notes.
Oh, nice. Keep that in your lap and take notes. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's kind of warm. It's kind of maybe too warm.
That's your loins. You have hot loins.
Is it me that is warming this, or is it this that is warming me?
Oh, I didn't think about that. Maybe your loins are overheated from the hot business you got laying on them. I don't know.
The hot business is probably from all the cicadas outside. We're in the middle of cicada season here.
Not just season. You guys are having like an apocalypse down there.
God. I was walking by some trees the other day and I almost brought my phone and recorded it. It was just deafening, but I just didn't feel like it was going to do it justice.
Sure. No, it's crazy. Yeah. Atlanta is like the worst. That's like epicenter of it all. Well, anyway, good luck, everybody, and may all your cicadas be green. Let's move on to today's discussion.
they kind of are. You know how I know? Because Audra came in last night from outside. And she's like, she was doing waving her arms and everything. So they're everywhere. They're freaking stupid cicadas. I wish they would go back into hibernation. And she went to the bathroom, and I was in the kitchen. I was pilling around, and she was like, all of a sudden, they was screaming and stuff.
Yeah.
And I come running. What's wrong? One of them had landed on her back and came inside with her. So I guess she walked by the mirror. She saw it on her back. And so she's flicking it off. He's on the ground going, wherever they make that little noise they make. And
I love it. Whenever you do a squeal or any kind of noise that's high pitched, it cuts you out.
Yeah.
Completely cuts you out. Yeah. Thanks, Discord. Yeah. You're great, Discord.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Discord.
Wait,
thanks
where does that. It do it? Discord has a setting for that. Where is that?
I could turn it off. It's using the, so I don't use the default CRISPR.
Yeah, don't use that shit. That thing sucks ass.
That one. So I just use the regular one that does all that. But if I turn it off, it seems like I get some background.
Well, you don't want that thing. It's another setting. It's not
right. How bad is the background noise when I do that?
You sound fine. I don't think I hear anything.
Sound fine?
Yeah.
Right. How about
No, it still cuts it out, but that's something else.
Maybe the cancellation, maybe?
No, it's something else.
Automatic gain control?
No, hold on. Debug. Advanced training. Somewhere here, there is an option where it cuts off high-pitched business. That was better. Do that again.
Yeah, this is advanced voice activity.
Now you're normal. Now I can hear everything okay. You're doing. Yeah.
Oh, then there. See, look, trouble. It's not Tech Thursday, but it's Friday.
Technical Friday.
Now I can scream. Now I can do long, sustained screams. Yep. I'm so excited.
No one will know where you've gone.
This may be the best Friday of my life.
Well, strap in. It's about to get better.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed. The game we're going to play is actually twofold. We're going to play two games, and we're going to talk about Dr. Mario and what it is, and Wario's Woods, and what it is, all right? So if you don't know what the first is, it's a classic Nintendo puzzle game where the plumber-turned doctors, currently known as Mario, tries to rid the world of viruses by tossing multicolored capsules into a bottle, and it's your job to match them up, clear the board, do a little puzzle-puzzy, and wish you were dead, because this is my least favorite of these two games. It's fine. It's not a terrible game. I know there are people who love Dr. Mario. It's important we talk about it. Probably the most successful Tetris side-ish
hustle
game. Side hustle. There you go. I like that.
Yeah, Mario's plumber. Yeah, he usually does the plumbing, but here he's posing as a physician.
Yeah. I think of all the things that aren't Tetris, this is a strong one for sure. But to me, it never quite lived up to why Tetris was great. It was okay. You know,
I went in this week with a prejudice. Mm. I was already convinced that I hated Dr. Mario and I was going to love Wario Woods.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that my mind flipped on that, but I am saying Dr. Mario earned a new respect from me once I stopped complaining and started really trying. And,
yeah.
But I'm with Miyamoto. I'm like with you too. I didn't trust this game from the very beginning because, as Miyamoto said recently in an interview when they were talking, when he was doing his little tour for, you know, the Mario movie and stuff, he said, Mario's a blue collar. He's a regular person.
Right.
So even when he becomes Dr. Mario, there's sort of like shadiness.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Can I trust this person? Yeah. Same. Cause it doesn't look like your classic Mario. Cause the avatar he's got in the game is a little bit larger and chunkier than you would usually see in most other games, and he's more front facing.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of disturbing.
Later stuff like where Dr. Mario appears in your Smash Brothers and so on, he looks like regular Mario, just kind of dressed up in a white coat, and he's got the what do you call that disc on their head? I forget what that's called. Doctor Disc.
That is a laser focused light beam.
Sure.
I don't know. It's to refract the light into a focused beam, right?
Yeah, I think so. I had one doctor in my life that ever used that, and it was a skin doctor.
Well, I'm going to say, was your old country doctor, Little House in the Prairie?
Jesus. You would think.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody with actually in real life. I don't think I've ever seen a doctor in real life wear one of those.
And this was in 1999, so it was actually kind of recent-ish. And he was older guy. He was probably, I don't know why he wasn't retired, but he was like 70 or something. But the reason I went to him is I went to like 10 other dermatologists, and none of them could tell me what the hell this growth in my neck was. He's the first one that went, he's the one that said, no, that's cancerous. We got to get rid of it. And
what?
I went, oh, shit. Okay, let's do that. And he took it out and did biopsies and confirmed it was cancerous. It didn't spread, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got rid of it and never had it again. Pulled my face all weird so that my neck felt funny, but whatever. And he did it all with a little dish on his head, which I could not believe. I thought that was cartoons only, you know?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So I guess the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
he did what others couldn't do because he could see, because he didn't mind looking stupid.
No,
right.
No, he didn't
mind looking dumb.
And he found the problem after like literally three years of me digging around trying to find a solution. This guy's the one that finally did it. He looked nothing like Mario.
Found it? Do you think Mario would have used his magnifying glass and said, no, that looks like cancer. Here's some pills. Back up. I'm about to throw them in your jar.
Here's,
see if you can catch them.
Here's what he'd really say. He'd sound something like this. One of the classic Nintendo songs, in my opinion, despite what I think about the game.
That's Fever. Yeah. I believe that's Fever, not Chill. If you go to the Dr. Mario, he's going to ask you two things. Do you have a fever or do you have a chill?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you went with Fever on that one.
I got a fever,
Dr.
Mario.
Johnny Fever.
And it requires more Mario Bell.
Pills.
Mario. So yeah, this game was very popular though. People did people played a lot of this. And when I was talking to people on the road this week about my, you know, this not being my favorite of the sort of offshoot of Tetris, you know, this kind Tetris, of this right. weird Tetris likes that popped up everywhere. There were people that were like, "Oh no, you don't understand. In my household, this is all we cared about. Everybody played Dr. Mario, and they played it as long and as often as they could. And all my friends were jealous, and they all came to play my NES because I had Dr. Mario." Like, there was a moment here where this thing really did seem like maybe the heir apparent to all things Tetris. Right. I just never felt it. I don't know why. I don't know what my problem was back then or even now. It's just, to me, it's fine. It's a good time. Mm-hmm. I'm not bored. It's fun clearing stuff. I think it's maybe a little too easy for too long, and you probably ought to crank up your difficulty, which you can do right away if you want. Yeah. The virus level is a setting, and you can just go in there and say, all right, I want to start with level 20 viruses or whatever, and it will fill almost the whole screen with these little colored buggers, and your job is to match up those colors, and it doesn't follow any science of pharmacology at all. It's 100% color matching, and it's kind of bullshit. So there's that.
This game surprised me by what you just described because of its amazing ability to be simple. It's the simplest game. Yeah. You don't even have saves. It's like we talk about saves all the time for NES, and it's like, oh, you never really didn't have saves in NES. You had to use passwords. Do we have passwords here? No, they didn't do passwords. Why? Because they just let you right out of the gate. They let you choose which virus level you wanted, 0 through 20.
Yep.
You just go in. If you clear the first three, later on you go, I want to go back and play that puzzle screen that is 4. Then that's what you do. You just go in there. They just kept it so simple. It felt like somebody on the team was like making sure that they kept it as simple as possible. And if the quality control of keeping it simple seemed, whoever didn't overcomplicate this was a freaking genius.
Yeah.
Because they could have overcomplicated the shit out of this, but they didn't. They kept it simple. Each pill has got two colors. Those two color or two possible colors, and those colors can be the same sometimes. And it's just like Tetris. You rotate the pills around and you land them, and you're trying to match four. When you match four, they disappear. Then what you're trying to do is you're trying to match four on top of a virus. So you're landing the colors of the virus on top of it, and they'll disappear from the magnifying glass out of the corner. And so in that way, it's like, usually when you play Tetris, you're like, oh, I'm dealing with everything down at the bottom. And if things stack up a certain level, then I need to worry about those. Here, you got to work your way around viruses sometimes. Sometimes mm-hmm. a virus will be in your way and you have to go, excuse me, coming through.
Yeah, they don't put this at the bottom of the screen. Stuff. You got to clear it from whatever angle
anywhere
it is. And that's a different way of thinking, because the other way of, the old way of thinking was, well, stuff just falls to the bottom. And if I don't hurry up and clear those, or if I don't get a good clearing happening with Tetris, I'm going to stack up too high, and then things are going to be too fast, and I'm going to run out of room, and bam, you're dead. This game is a different approach. There's nothing rising up from the bottom, and your job is to just be smart about anticipating where your four lines are going to come from, because it's all about matching four colors, which also threw me back in the day because I played a lot of Columns on the Genesis, and Columns did a very different thing. It did it with three. Yeah. And it was also more vertical and horizontal like this is, but it threw me because I was going back and forth, and I just didn't feel right playing it, playing Mario this way. And I honestly didn't like Columns for the same reason. I just didn't feel like I had a lot of interesting combinations of things. I mean, the truth is I can rotate these pills vertical and horizontal, whereas Columns was just rotating the gems between each level of the three. You know what I'm saying? Like you would just sort of phase top to the middle to the bottom to the middle to the top like that. And
that sounds like the best hip hop song I've ever heard. I think
top to the middle to the middle to the top. Top to the middle to the top. Middle to the top, yo. That's pretty good. Who would do that?
I loved it.
Who is that? Is that would that be Flavor Flav? Would that be like Public Enemy style? Who are we doing there?
No. Who is that? That feels more like the old school mid 80s type of rapper there. That's some old school rap.
And the chicken tastes like wood, like that, like Sugar Hill Gang. Like
that's right.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So when the pills are falling down, you can actually screw yourself quite easily, and did it quite often. You turn the pills horizontally, and if it's two different colors, you may want to only land, like, let's say red on top of a red virus, and then the other side is blue, and it may continue to fall down. Like, oh no, I didn't notice that yellow virus down there. Now I've got to go through all my blues to get that out of the way so then I can then put yellows on top of it. But all of it makes perfect sense when you're in the game and everything is so simple. The music is simple. You play the Fever for a little while, then you feel like you want to be a little chill and you play the chill music. And then if you're really feeling good about yourself, you're like, oh, I'm getting good at this. It's time to challenge my friend. And you can do just that. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people that I heard from this week wanted to play me. They said, come at me, bro. And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean come at me, bro? I'm no good at Dr. Mario. But we can try. How do you want to play this? And they said, oh, I got Nintendo Online. Come at me, bro. And I'm like, no, you're scaring me. And so, but yeah, you can play this on Nintendo Online multiplayer. And get your butt kicked like I probably would. Now, a lot of people also told me that they played a lot of this Dr. Mario or were introduced to it in a game that I loved back in the day. Did you have Brain Age for the DS?
Oh, yeah. Brain Age was awesome. For a lot of players, it's the first time they ever had access to this because it's just an older NES game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Brain Age. And Brain Age, the fact that Brain Age essentially included it was like getting two games like or more than that, because there was a lot of kind of mini games in there. But you know, one of these days we got to talk about Brain Age. I know it's not that old, but we can talk about it.
It really, what is it,
2000 something like that?
Let's take a look at Brain Age for DS here. Yeah, let's take a look. Maybe it's older than we think.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh my God. Next year, it will then be 20 years old.
2005.
May 19th. Hey, May 19th. Happy birthday, Ethan. May 19th, 2005. Very good.
All right.
So, yeah, I love that game.
Yeah,
I love that.
I do too. I think it's real good, and it's just it'd be fun to, discuss it as the thing that it was, because they haven't done anything like this really since. There's been some games that have sort of played around with it. There was Brain Age 2 or something. I don't remember what that was, but
I think I had both of those.
Yeah. So what happened to those? That idea was like a weird thing. Feels like the Switch ought to have something like it, and they don't really, you know.
Yeah, it was one of the, so it was the first time I saw non-gamers look over at me and at my DS and go, hey, what you playing there, man? Mm-hmm. Kind of reminding me of how we felt when the Wii came along and everybody's like, you know, I saw all of us gamers like, oh, that's dumb. Look at that stupid controller. And then non-gamers walking over going, what is that? How does that work?
Yeah,
and we're like, oh, you want to try this? Yeah. Yeah. So Brain Age kind of had the same thing for the DS.
Yeah.
It interests people that didn't typically seem interested in video gaming.
Yeah. And I'll say this, the other thing I liked about I will say this, I like this, well, I like, okay, Brian, you're on a desert island. You got a bamboo gun to your head and the guy holding it says, all right, buddy, you're on this island forever. It's just you and one of these two games. You can only choose one. You'll have unlimited power and energy and then nothing will ever break, but these are the only two games you can choose from. Which one will you choose? And you have Dr. Mario and you have Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Okay.
Which is essentially Puyo Puyo. It's the same kind of game.
Right, right, right.
So
right.
If that bamboo gun is held to your head and you have to make that choice of those two, which one do you take?
See, I like being challenged over time. And I think Dr. Robotnik has more of that challenge over time. That's where Dr. Mario kind of fails because of his simplicity. But it is always infinitely pick-upable, kind of like Tetris, very much like Tetris. Because, you know, if you said, do you want Tetris on a desert island? I'm like, I don't know if I want to play Tetris every day for the rest of my life. But, you know, am I going to pick up Tetris and play it? Heck yeah, because it's always Tetris. It's always simple. It's always that same game mechanic. But I don't feel very challenged necessarily, because most of us, a personal challenge is like, oh, can I complete it within so long?
Yeah.
Can I do it? Can I stack it?
Can I stack?
Get that bamboo. I think got your bamboo in my eye. Ah, get your bamboo gun out of my face.
Yeah. What are you doing here with your bamboo in my face? But yeah, no, I mean, don't you think it's just, it's got a longer tail to it, whereas Dr. Mario is fine. It's fine. Okay, you guys? It's all right. I don't want to come off. This is not the episode I want people writing in going, what's wrong with Scott? Does he hate fun or something? And I understand why you might think that. That's not what I'm saying, though. It is fun. What it does really well. I'm just saying there's not a lot of meat to this sandwich. That's all.
I have a newfound respect for his simplicity, and I think his longevity. And this is where you kind of threw me when you said a desert island. If you said a desert island with a rotating cast of challengers coming through, I would say Dr. Mario, because the real fun happens when you get into the multiplayer. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, you want to play checkers on a desert? No. But if I had a rotating group of people coming through to play checkers against, that's where the challenge is at, right?
Right.
I think the fun comes into play with the other player. And that's what's fun about the Game Boy version they have the Game Boy Link cable. So yeah, you get to have the full screen on yours and the full screen on theirs, and you get to jerk it around until you jerk the cable loose and go, oh, did the game end? Was I losing? See ya, sucker.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
See ya, sucker.
See ya, sucker. You didn't win. Yeah. I didn't lose.
No, you didn't lose.
You didn't win.
Yeah. It's totally fine. It is also got some of the, I love how catchy the music is. That stuff transcends the game. Mario, yeah, the Mario series in general, known for having wonderful little riffs. And this one in particular wasn't even playing off Mario music as much as it was creating its own vibe. And I think it holds up with all the Mario songs. I think this Dr. Mario music is really fantastic.
I think the most fascinating part of Dr. Mario is this alternate world where Mario is placed in as a doctor. He's been a tennis player before, but it all still feels like he's a plumber playing tennis.
Yeah.
This feels like an alternate timeline to me, like Dr. Mario. He can't be both. He can't be a plumber. Like Miyamoto says, the creator of, you know, he's the one who started most of the Mario mythos stuff. So he knows. And he's like, this is weird. And can I trust this person? It's weird, right? Yeah, yeah. And so that's a weird thing for me, but it is fun to explore. As a matter of fact, have you ever heard of Super Mario Kun? In which there's Mario comics. Have you seen these Mario comics?
No.
Me either. But according to the MarioWiki.com/Dr. Mario, which I was digging on because that place is, oh my God, if you need to know anything about Mario, go over to the MarioWiki.com and check it out, because God, they got so much information. Anyway, there was a comic run where Dr. Mario shows up and Yoshi is falling from the sky, and Mario then transforms into Dr. Mario and before stuffing a giant capsule in his mouth. And then Dr. Mario reappears later on in some more comics, too. So he's being attacked by a tweeter in that one. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that is either. Is that like a little tiny speaker in the front of your car that was attacking him, or one of the big bassy ones in the rear? I don't know how that works when you're getting beat by a tweeter.
I don't know. Yeah. But I was totally down with it. I was like, yeah, I want to read some Mario comics. I like the idea of Dr. Mario more than I like the game, I think.
That's a fair way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the GBA version of the game, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think is a more fun version of the game. Maybe it's because you get more screen space. It's less. It's not the 4:3 aspect ratio.
Right.
But I'm not so sure about the graphics. I'm going to put up a little bit of video for people at home.
And it's in color, which is a big increase from the original Game Boy, which was just grayscale. And you know, like, wait, this is a color matching game. How do you do that in grayscale? We use the little cross hatching type deal. So yeah, it's fine. But the GBA is a far superior experience. You got a nice little Mario dancing, right?
I think it's just a little ugly. It's a little uglier, and I don't know why. There's something about it that's just a little ugly on a small screen. It's fine, but he looks a little 3D rendered and sort of. He's not, but he's not your normal sprite. I don't know. Maybe you could do stuff with filters that would help it, but. Other than that,
this is the problem. I think they were starting to try to overcomplicate it. What kind of modes are in that one? Because that's the other thing too. They start adding modes later on.
I don't remember if that thing had. According to this, it doesn't say, because the SNES version of it had this and Tetris together.
Yes,
it was a combo.
That is the best of both worlds, right? The SNES version, you got a mixed match mode where you can alternate between playing Tetris and Dr. Mario. That's crazy. I like that idea.
That's pretty nuts. It's good, though. I do like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got here? Let's now take a look. Let's take a swing into the woods. Let's have our ball chip off into the woods. Head over to Wario Land, where this sounds a lot like that game. There you go. Listen to that. Whip. It's nice. Our old pal.
Is this like 10 years later? Because Jesus, this sounds like so much better. I mean, it's not as as catchy as the other one, but it's, whew,
yeah,
that sound, if those sounds sound great.
It's an interesting game because, so it's, I don't know how to quite explain this, but we'll try to explain it. Basically, Toad, in the single-player mode anyway, in the multiplayer mode, it's Toad versus some bird or something. Oh, here it is. What is this bird? I never played multiplayer.
That's a different bird. I don't recognize that bird. At first, I thought she was talking about Birdie.
No, it's that someone else. I don't know what that... Birdo. Oh, you mean Birdo? Birdo's great.
Birdo.
Freaking love Birdo.
I always get those confused. Birdo. That weird-looking... what is that thing? It looks like a snorkeler, a Q-bird. It looks like Q-bird. That's what a snorkel looks like.
That's the word you were looking for.
Birdo.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. Now, I don't like, there are different characters on that side of the screen, but I don't love the whole, like, and they do this in Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, so it's not like I'm saying just Nintendo did this, but this game, I would have preferred a single column. I don't want to really compete with another creature. I just want to play. You know what I mean? So that kind of bummed me out here. But you're doing the bidding of, you're basically trying to destroy a warrior. You're not doing his bidding. And you do that by stacking a bunch of farm animals of various colors. Not farm animals, the forest animals. And a combination of that and bombs.
Monsters.
Yeah, monsters, I guess. They're not really monsters. They look like freaking bunnies.
They're not monsters. They're cute little adorable forest creatures.
Cute little creatures.
They're not monsters.
Exactly. And you're placing bombs also to strategically blow up the right color schemes. And those bombs are being dropped by the computer. It's, I don't know what that little fairy's called. It's in the...
I forgot Birdo's name already. Is it Birdo? What is her name? Is that right?
Birdo is in... Well, Birdo is in Mario Super Mario Brothers 2, right? That's
but
Birdo.
This has got a bunch of elements from that, right?
I don't remember.
So this is Birdo. So this is the two-player version. When you get in the single-player version, Birdo is up there in the corner, and she's got like a little fairy doing the bidding of dropping the bombs and as well as the forest creatures, which are falling down. Now, this is not a match four situation necessarily. You don't match four monsters and then they disappear. You have to have a matching color bomb to hit it.
So yeah, and that's a requirement of three. That's a minimum of three. So if you have two monsters on the ground that are red and you drop a red ball next to them, a red bomb next to them, it will take those guys out. If there are only one of those guys and you put a bomb next to them, it will not kill it. I think. Yes. I think that's how it works.
Well, there's diagonal. So, okay, so remember how we said Dr. Mario is the example of the most simplest gameplay? This is the most complex gameplay you'll ever see of any type of Tetris type game that is.
I agree.
Or whatever.
Yeah, because in a way, it's almost, you're almost playing like Lode Runner at the same time in a weird way, this game.
Yeah.
You're running around, you're digging down, you're going up, you're piling stuff on top of other stacks if you can reach them. You're catching things and not having them land first, and you're literally walking them over to the other side of the screen and plunking them down. Like, there's a lot going on here that isn't just let's drop pieces and match them up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that makes it interesting, for sure.
Yeah, that's where I think this is partially because Mario wants you to have a simple, basic, good time in Dr. Mario, and I think Wario is a nightmare. The nightmare is the game that you're playing. Now, Scott's been playing the two player. I think this is is this the SNES version? I think it is because
it is.
I played the NES version.
Yeah.
The SNES is they're basically the same, but there's the graphics are better. It's the Super NES sound chip designed by the father of the PlayStation. And so it's different.
Yeah.
But it's the same.
Yeah.
Good way of putting
this. Scott's only playing the challenge. So in this part of it, you're in different areas where you're trapped in kind of the Tetris box. Toad is trapped inside the Tetris box doing all the manipulation of all the characters. And I found myself most of the time clearing things on accident. I'd pick up a monster and I would walk over to go toss him down somewhere. And oopsie, I made a Connect Four.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, that worked, but that ruined my plans for what I was doing before. And so you've got the SNES version, I think, plays better, though, because you have four face buttons on that one.
Yeah.
And on the NES version, you only have two buttons. So it's a little more complicated to do your moves because you can walk up columns of monsters and bombs. So you can actually walk up halfway through a column and you put a red inside of a stack of yellow, and you can walk up and time it just right and grab a red out of there, and then the yellows will come together and they'll explode.
Yep.
You can't carry things up there, but you can pick them out and fall. You can also send yourself to the top of a column by pushing the down button, I think, on the D-pad. Like I said, it's just there's lessons in this game. You can literally go and learn lessons, and it breaks it down by each button and its function. And each one of them will take you through like four or five scenarios with just that one button. And then you put it all together. It is amazingly complex game.
Yeah.
Amazing complex.
It really is complex. And also, that's, I think, why I liked it. It just gave me more to do. You know, I liked
it. Yeah. Like you said, if I was by myself on a desert island, this would be the game, because there's an infinite number of learning that you could do. While you're doing all this, the penalty for taking your time or taking too long to clear the board is Wario in the single player typically comes out and he'll start banging on the walls, and this, you know, it'll start, the ceiling will start coming down.
Yeah.
And of course you don't want that, because if you
hear that, and the ceiling, exactly, by the way, are a bunch of those chomp bumps or whatever they're called. Not chomp they're, bumps.
Yeah, the, yeah.
Kabumps or bonks or whatever they're called. The big block, the big slabs of cement that jump on you, whatever they're called. I forgot the name.
And they look angry. Yeah, very angry.
Angry, pissed off. Kawomps? What, chat? What is it? Kawomps. We know this name. Someone please tell me this name.
Now, and this one, unlike Dr. Mario, you know, pick your difficulty level. The difficulty level is rewarded to you every time you clear a screen. It's like, oh, the difficulty level is about to go up. Why? Because I just succeeded.
Yeah, right, cool. Yeah. Thwomp is the name. Thwomp, by the way. Thank you, Taz. It's Thwomp. That's the name of those
Thwomps,
things.
That's right. They thwomp you. That's right. So the ceiling keeps coming down. And when you're playing two players, as you clear the screen, that also can penalize the other player. So there's a lot of strategy here. So where Dr. Mario is playing checkers, Wario Woods is playing chess for sure. Very complex schemes, to the point that sometimes you feel like you're just mashing buttons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. I'm so lost. I've made such a mess of my stacks that I don't know how I'm going to recover. And then just suddenly you do. Mm-hmm. And then you just keep going. So just keep moving. That's the whole trick to Wario's Woods, is that. Now, there's some really interesting thing. I played the NES version. The NES version was the last licensed game released for the NES. Real late in life stuff here.
Weird. Last one. Wow.
The very last licensed game, and also the only NES game to have an ESRB rating.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
And it did not have E for Everyone. Hmm. It had a short-lived version called K to A. Kids to adults.
Kids. Oh, yeah. I was going to guess kindergarten to...
After, I should have let you guess. I apologize.
I don't know. I don't know what that would be. What would that be?
Right.
Yeah. I guess that sounds right. Kids to adult. That makes sense.
And so, yeah, really weird. But I don't think they even had the... Did they even give it a rating on the SNES? I'm not even sure. But the SNES version is probably a superior one. But as you can well guess, both of these carts are a little harder to get, because it was well received. Wario Woods was, but it did moderate sales. Unlike Dr. Mario, who just really, you know, killed it. It's like, I'm Mario.
Yeah.
And you're a Wario.
Oh, you know what else has it for free is WarioWare. And it's called Dr. Wario.
Yes.
That, I got to get my hands on that.
Yes.
Is that a thing I can do?
You can also.
I want to get that. Sorry, go ahead.
That's a good question. A lot of these games ended up, so they wanted, especially Dr. Mario, to be on every freaking thing. So Nintendo has constantly, you know, churned it over and over again. Wario's Woods has been available in lots of places, but it's always been the NES version, not the SNES version for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But let's see, what was the, there was something I was going to tell you.
Oh my gosh, he completely took over the game, and it's called Dr. Wario, and it's Wario doing it, but it's the same effing game. Yes.
Yeah.
This was in which one? Hold on. This was in
Wario.
The original WarioWare? I have WarioWare. I got to look this up. Oh, shit.
Oh, you should totally get it. They basically just replaced the Mario with Wario, and he's like, if Mario can do it, I can do it.
That's right, because he's a dick. That's what he does. He's such a dick. Now, I love him. He's the best.
Now, if you're wanting the best of both worlds, I'm going to throw in my just to mention real quick, Dr. Mario 64, which came out in 2001, you get a chance to see who's the better Dr. Mario or Wario, because you can pit Dr. Mario against Wario for some pill pushing fun in the N64 version.
Mm.
Dr. Mario.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that. You're turning
can
me
finally
on.
Find out who's the best. But yeah. Wario's Woods is really weird. There's not a lot of plot, but we do know that Toad's the main hero. Toad, I imagine Toad is trying to get through Wario's Woods. Like, he's on a mission to go. He's always doing something, right? Anytime you meet Toad in any of the games, he's always like, I gotta go, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. I got things to do. You think yeah. you're an adventurer? I got work to do. And so I feel like he knows where all the, like, you know, he knows where all the pipe the portals are, right? He knows right. how to teleport places. So yeah. I feel like this is a shortcut for him. I feel like Wario's Woods is nothing but Toad's shortcut, because he starts from, you know, left going to right. He goes, he's in a hollow tree, and that's where he has to face off all the monsters, and he has to rearrange everything. And once he clears it, he moves on to the next one, and increasing in difficulty until he finally escapes Wario's Woods. And that's the narrative I tell myself about Toad.
Yeah, because Toad needs a story for us to accept his bullshit. He sucks. He's a dumb
yeah,
little guy.
Yeah, because he's always busy. Yeah. I'm busy. I'm Toad.
Yeah.
Got no time for this crap.
And he sounds stupid. All right, I'll just put that out there. Toad sounds dumb. He does. He sounds dumb.
That's rude.
It's a little rude, but he's still a mushroom and he's terrible. Real quick here.
I wonder if he smells like a mushroom.
Let's think about that. Who in the Mushroom Kingdom smells the most like some stinky ass freaking gross growing out the side of an alley wall mushroom? Who do you think that is? Of all the characters in the Mushroom Kingdom, who do you think?
I just feel like Toad's a very clean person. I feel like he's, you know, he gets up in the morning, he scrubs, you know, he gets underneath what do you call the underneath part of the mushroom?
The hood.
I'm going to call it the hood. Underneath the hood really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets underneath there. He gets rid of any excess fungus,
yeah.
right? Even
yeah.
though he is a fungus himself.
That's true.
He gets rid of excess stinky fungus.
He is an entire, he's an embodiment of fungus, but I think you're probably right. He doesn't stink. Here's who I think stinks in that world.
All right, give me it.
First of all, there's no way Birdo doesn't stink, but Birdo is sort of.
Birdo has a hole right in the middle of her face, right?
Yeah, Birdo's gross. I don't like Birdo at all. But the freaks stinkiest of the regulars are probably just common Goombas, dude. Just little Goombas.
Yeah.
Stinky little brown little shit balls, whatever those things are even. F those guys.
Now they're like primordial mushrooms, right? Like Toad is like some kind of more advanced mushroom, whereas I feel like those guys are like they literally just crawled out of the dirt.
Yeah, so I think that's fair. If I had only one other complaint about Dr. Mario versus some of these others, including Robotnik and even the Wario's Woods, is that when pieces come down, like in the case of the pills. If I'm coming down horizontally and one end touches on another piece, my brain wants that piece that didn't touch to keep falling into the space it's in. Like you would if it was Poi Poyo or a Poyo Poyo or however you say it. And the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing stops there. And my brain is always like, oh, this is a perfect place for me to put that pill, thinking it's going to drop. It doesn't drop. It stays. And now I'm blocked from doing the thing I want.
Yeah, not until you explode the other side. So, you know, in Tetris, it's kind of risky. But when you're coming, you know, the least riskiest move for Tetris is to, you know, line the block up and hit the down pad and watch it hit the bottom, right?
Right.
You look, you say, oh, that looks good. And but you can also, like, make it skinny and fly it between, you know, two places and then flip it. When it gets underneath, you've accidentally made like an overhang, right? That happens all the time. You accidentally make an overhang, kind of like what you're talking about in Dr. Mario.
Yeah.
And you like, when you get past that point, you flip it and you make it horizontal and then you land it. And I'm no good at none of that. I always get excited and end up going, instead of one click, I always go two clicks. And then I'm like vertically again. I'm like, oh no, then I got to flip it again. And then I inevitably fail. And then that's when a disco stack, 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 stack,
yeah,
stack.
Cancel. Exactly. I do that all the time. So I want to give it some more time. I didn't get as much time to play this week, really anything while I was gone, but I gave it a decent amount of time and I think I want to get back to it. Maybe I'll end up like you and be more surprised by what I like about Dr. Mario. But I think I just had a you know, a stick in my craw back in the day, because I was such a Tetris head that I just, anything that tried to take Tetris fame made me annoyed. I was annoyed with it.
If you compare Dr. Mario to Tetris, Tetris definitely wins.
You put any of these, there's not a single stuff falling from the top puzzle game that even comes close, in my opinion. They're all, some of them are good on their own, but all compared or held up to Tetris, Tetris beats all of them. All of them.
Yeah. Tetris is the top.
Tetris is the bomb. Tetris is the best.
Tetris is the bomb. Did you play? So this is another worth a mention. I didn't really play it very much. But I did look at Tetris Attack, which is deceptive, because it's like, oh, this is a Tetris game. I'm like, no, there's Super Nintendo, Nintendo properties in this thing, right?
Tetris Attack is a very different game, and that's what I don't like about it. I wish it was just more pure Tetris. The best Nintendo ever did with a Tetris game that had Nintendo crap jammed in it was the DS game called, I think it was just Tetris DS. And Tetris DS is good, so good, dude. So good.
Yeah.
The best. Yeah. You don't even, and the funny thing is you never needed a stylus for it, but the multiplayer was amazing. We would do this in this office I worked in all the time. Everybody bring in their DS and we would have these battles. And you could have up to, I can't remember, wirelessly, you could have like four, I don't know what it was, people. And we would just have these tournaments in the office that would sometimes go way over lunch. And we would play, and it had these themed levels. So you had like, you know, Metroid themed levels, and I think at the time it was getting like 9s out of 10s. And I still to this day think it's the best Tetris game anyone ever made. It's so good.
Nice,
so now, good.
Dr. Mario 64. Dr. Mario 64 also has 4-player mode, so you could actually hook up there. They could do that. That's not too bad.
I forgot they did that. Right, Dr. Mario 64. Let's just take a look at that thing.
Yeah,
because that is probably
bad. It's not bad. Yeah, and also it tells you a lot about Tetris Attack and where Yoshi was in our the culture at the time. Because in 1995, they went with Tetris Attack instead of like the Yoshi drop or something. Because Yoshi's all in that thing. Yeah, he's all in that thing. But they decided to go with the bigger name, Tetris.
Oh, here it is. Oh, you know what? This is all right. They used pixels. I approve.
Yeah.
They didn't try to do some 3D, ugly 3D thing. That's good.
There's a Wario now taking on Dr. Mario. Look at that.
This could be fun to play.
It's all right. It's still Dr. Mario, though. Don't forget that.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever you do.
Yeah, I like the presentation. The NES one just looks so old to me. It's just hard for me to want to get excited about a game that looks that old. But you know what? I'm feeling like I want to try this one out. Because look at those cute little, look at the little fight they're having there in the middle, a little pixel fight.
Little avatar, they're little Wario. I always think Wario's flashing the peace sign, but he's really doing the mustache roll.
Yeah. He's twisting that tip of that dumb mustache of his.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, listen. He's doing that. Well, anyway, there's your look at these two games. Did we decide.
We haven't
picked a team yet, so let's do that. All right. We're going to pick a winner.
All right.
I think the winner, again, gun to my head, give me more complexity over time because I'm going to be on this island for a long time. I think Wario Woods is my choice. Wario's Woods, I should say. What do you think?
I'm going to give it just barely to Dr. Mario, but just barely, and only because I respect the simplicity, because the more I played Wario Woods, which I enjoyed, I liked both of these games, but the more I played Wario Woods, the more I was like, I don't know if I'll ever get any better at this.
Yeah.
Because the is so complex, I don't know if I'll ever have the want or desire to become a master at it. It's just a little too hard to master.
Yeah.
But I enjoy playing against other people and playing Dr. Mario. That just good everyday fun.
Yep.
And so I've got to give it to Mario.
Okay. And I think that you're probably in the majority. I think most people probably feel this way.
Yeah.
So I will accept my minority position. I will sit in the corner and enjoy.
But you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're just.
But I'm just misguided, really.
Just different.
I'm a Wario.
I do lean Wario when it comes to secondary Mario characters. I really like him.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous. He's over the top.
He's got a lot more personality than even though he's very two-dimensional.
Yep.
He just seems.
But he's going to take him. He's going to take one of these for his team. You lose, buddy.
I think we could all relate to Wario more than we can Mario. It's kind of like, who do you prefer, Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck? Even though you probably should be on the surface going, yeah, Bugs Bunny's better. But really, you're always pulling for Daffy Duck. Because it's like, yeah, we've all existed under someone else's shadow of perfection, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what's his motivation? Well, he's having to deal with the success of Mario.
Yep.
So you can't blame him too much, right?
No, not too much. And I agree with you there. No. I think that's a fair point. Here's a little Tetris Attack music, which I actually think this is the best part of that game. Yeah, here comes Yoshi and his pals doing Yoshi shit.
Doing Yoshi shit.
I mean, it's just got a nice vibe to it, but I don't like the way the game plays. I don't like shifting things around on my puzzle game. Not a fan.
No.
This is not Tetris. Tetris, things fall. There are shapes that I know. They come down. They make lines. It clears the lines. That's Tetris. This.
What is this?
Not
Candy
this.
Crush?
Yeah, I don't like this. This is not my favorite. But the game, but the presentation's
Nintendo.
Nice. Yeah, no, I like that. Don't get me wrong. That stuff's all right. Well, anyway, there you go. We hope you guys enjoyed playing those this week if you had a chance to. If not, go check those out. They're available in different places. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the OG Dr. Mario is on Nintendo's online service thing, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I forget what they call it. Just Nintendo Online.
Nintendo Online is what it's called. Yeah.
They need a better name. It's stupid.
They do.
But it's playable. I don't know about the 64.
It might be
one.
Called Nintendo Switch Online. I always thought it was called Nintendo Online. Maybe it is Switch Online.
Maybe it is just Switch Online. Yeah. We should be hearing from those guys soon. This is the year we hear what's next for them, I think.
Yeah, it's 2025. They've already announced that they're, you know, they at least haven't denied working on a Switch 2 and that it's going to be out 2025. Looks like the most likely.
Yeah,
time that that's
five. I guess they'll do a direct later this year, and in that direct, they will announce the new hardware, and then say that it will be available holiday 2026. That's or five. That's what I think they'll do.
2025. Get your money ready.
That's right. We're here for
it. Get a new Switch.
Yep. Lay it down and push it in. All right.
I think. Wow.
I don't know where. I don't know why I went that way, but now I'm going this way.
Destroy it. I can't wait for the new system.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm stoked. I can't wait to see what they do. They better make everything backwards compatible or they can F right out the window. It's going to piss me off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of room for design innovation as far as the visual of it. I think they're going to have to kind of stay with what they've been doing. I mean, they'll probably be like, they'll either go, it's a little bigger screen, or it's a little smaller screen, or we're releasing two versions, a bigger screen and a smaller screen. This feels very much.
Well, they got to do more than that. There better be way better CPU and GPU in there. If they don't do that, they're wasting their time.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about way better, but it'll should be better. And I'm sure it'll be like almost as sharp as the OLED. It's a new screen technology as the Switch pixels.
I mean, the Switch is basically capable of pumping out PS3/360 graphics. That's what it does. If the new one doesn't do at least PS4, Xbox One era stuff and a little bit better, that's a mistake. If they stay behind that, that's a problem. They shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens later on. Let's get to a little Guess My Game. It's where we take an old game, we play some audio from it, and we try to guess what each other brought to the table. I'm going to start this week with a game that came out in the arcade in the year 1990. So same year as Dr. Mario, but in the arcade. Ooh. All right.
Oh, shoot. I didn't put a year in platform on mine. I'm so bad now.
Slacker ass. Slacker.
I'm a slacker ass, but I do know this. Slacker ass. It was the arcade, and it was something like 80 something.
No.
Oh,
all right. All right,
go ahead. Give me that beautiful. Did we say it? We confirmed that we know about the beautiful bean footage now, right? Now we know it.
Okay. Yeah, we know all about the beautiful bean, and now we listen to this, and you tell me what you think it is. Here we go. All right, it's a nice little preview there, and I'll give you now four possible titles.
And these are going to get confusing because the game type is what I thought it would be, which is a smup, right? It smells like a smup.
Well, I'm not telling if it's a shmup or not. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Give me the titles then.
Here you go. Is it A, Raiden? Is it B, Blockseed?
Wins.
Is it C, G-Lock Air Battle? Or is it D, Gradius 3? Again, your options are Raiden, Blockseed, G-Lock Air Battle, or Gradius 3. All games from that era. This one came out in the arcade in 1990. Any ideas?
For some reason, this does not sound like Raiden to me, but it does at the same time.
Raiden.
Would you scan forward further along than I usually play?
Yep, here we go.
Or Blockseed. I don't know what the hell that is.
That was a good game.
Blockseed was a good game?
Yeah, I liked Blockseed. I played all these.
G-Lock Air Battle.
Oh, I take it back. I played everything but one of these. I won't tell you which one, but one of these I did not play.
Okay, and I played Gradius, and I'm trying to remember what it sounds like, but man, if I can remember, I don't remember.
Gradius 3, third Gradius. That's an important aspect.
Gradius 3.
Yep.
I don't know what Blockseed is, so I'm taking it off the board. It's definitely not B. G-Lock, Air Battle, I have no idea what the hell that is, so I might as well take that off the board, too. So I'm going to nick it down either A or D. A, D! I'm going to go with... D, Gradius 3. I don't know, but it's Raiden, but it's D. No, it's Raiden. No, it's D. It's definitely D. D, final answer.
D, final answer. Is it D? No, it is not D.
No!
You would have had it. It's Raiden. A, Raiden.
Dang it!
Oh, man.
Why does that not sound like Raiden?
You and this guy. Down. Done. Out for the day. All right. Raiden was a great game.
I feel like Wario.
Raiden was my...
Raiden's a great game.
Probably two or three favorite top-down shooter stuff. I love those. It's a great game.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, let's do yours. Yours is an arcade game from 87. Eh? Anything else you want to say about this?
No, that's all you get. You get to two vectors, and then you get an audio file. What do you want from me?
Good point. Oh, this is familiar. This is very familiar. All right, what are my options?
The options are from 1987, the arcade. Is it going to be A, Rastan? B, Rastan? Is it going to be B, Karnov? Is it going to be C, Psycho Nix Oscar? Or D, Exelon?
Exelon and Psycho Nix Oscar.
Exelon sounds like something in Futurama, isn't it? What is it? Something like that. What is it on Futurama?
I don't know.
Exelon, Percy I.
Something. It's, shit.
What Exelon, is it? Percy now you've thrown, five?
You've thrown me. No, it's Percy I 8, but I can't remember the Percy first part. What's the first part of this? I am Lure, king, leader of Omicron. Is it with their Omicron Percy I 8? I thought of it right before Tondagosa put it in the chat. All right. I'm going to say, I don't know what Psycho Nix Oscar is. That sounds really weird.
The best game ever.
Never even heard of it. Karmoff, I remember. Exelon, I do not remember. But that that sounds like Rastan to me. Yeah. So I'm going to say Rastan or Ristan or however you say it.
Right.
Yeah. That's my answer. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Scott. The answer is A, Rastan.
Oh, I got it.
You got it.
Tell me about this Psycho Nix Oscar. Is this really real?
Oh, don't you love this? Isn't it really cool that if you pull it up? So here we go. It's a side scroller running gun.
Let's see.
And it's a Data East game.
Never heard
and,
of this.
And it's set in the future, and it's kind of like a mech warrior kind of guy. I've looked at this a couple times. Kind of reminds me of like what am I thinking of Metroid kind of looking, but doesn't play like that.
No, not at all.
It's like a side scrolling smup almost.
Yeah, what do you call together. There's something like this Turrican, like Turrican.
Oh yeah,
kind of like Turrican.
Yeah, Turrican's a good example. Yeah,
yeah, I'm getting
or Contra.
Getting Turrican vibes. A little slow for a Contra game, but yeah, I could see that. Metal, yeah.
He's a mech.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, dude. I totally spaced to tell you. So me and the daughter and the wife Carter went with us this year, so we had all three of us there. Right. We played, because in this barcade, all the games are free. You don't have to pay for them. You just pay a cover charge to get in, and then you just play whatever you want. And we played the X-Men 97 X-Men game, X-Chicken, all that.
X-Chicken.
Yep. Yeah. And
X-Chicken.
That game. And we not only won because we had unlimited quarters and could just keep pounding them in there. I beat that game for the first time, and I'd never done it before. And here's what's interesting. So there's a little bit of a spoiler. If you beat the game, there's not much of a story, yeah. So not a story spoiler. Yeah. But this is what's happened was it rolls around. I thought maybe I'd get credits or be done or whatever. Nope. Mm-hmm. It is old school, dude. You fight and fight and fight. You fake. Yeah, you fight fake Magneto, and then you fight real Magneto.
Yes.
And then the island blows up, and then the whole thing just starts over, but harder. And that's it. That's
yes.
the game.
And it's like, let's do it again, but this time, let's make it harder.
Yeah, let's make it so your quarters last way less time. And anyway, I've never done that before, so even though we cheated our way to victory, it was fun to actually beat that game that I haven't played. We talked on the show, but yeah.
When we talked about on the show, I do remember cheating my way to the first fake out and remember going, I'm out.
Yeah.
You don't fake me out. I'll quit.
I don't like fake outs either. They make me mad.
Right.
Not a fan. Yeah. Not in video games anyway. Don't be doing that shit to me. Well, there you go. I win this week. You lose. And that's how it is. That's how it's going to be. Now this.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Time for some listener feedback, and comes in the form of emails and texts and voicemails, all this kind of stuff. We have a text to start with today, and this is from
I actually posted this, and it was actually from the chat room when I was playing Dr. Wario, but I didn't see chat room, so I put it in here as text.
No, that's totally great. We'll take those too, by the way. If we ever get stuff in chat rooms, if we get stuff in the Discord, wherever we get things, we're happy to plug them in here. Wise Guy Is Real is who this came from. He says, funny story, my dog ran over my GameCube controller cord, and my Wii fell over, causing the eject button to break, and now I can only play Sonic Unleashed. That's a real bummer.
This is the kind of story you get from other gamers, and you're like, no one outside of this would know half of what you're talking about, and if they did, they would like, okay, and then just walk away. But I love the idea that your dog ran over your GameCube controller, and then the Wii fell over, and now your eject button is broken, and now you can play a Sonic Unleashed. That sounds like both terrible and great. And I
wonderful.
Think instead of doing the only one game on an island analogy, I think we should use this from now on. We go, so you got it. You got your GameCube controller plugged into a Wii, and your dog runs over it, knocks the Wii in the eject button. What do you want to be in there forever?
Yeah.
Sonic Unleashed.
Make a decision. Make it Sonic Unleashed, boy. Here's the thing, though. It's like the end of that Twilight Zone episode where the guy, he thinks he has all the books in the world to read and no one is left but him on the planet. Right. And then he breaks his glasses at the end. It's a little like that. You're stuck with one thing. Sonic Unleashed for the rest of time.
Was that Chicken Chasing Burgess Meredith who was the guy in that one?
Was that him? I don't remember correctly?
Or was that just some old guy?
Might have been. That sounds like somebody who would have been on there. Sure. Why not? Right. Well, I-Corps says yes, it was. It was him. So.
Okay.
All right. I didn't know that either. I thought it was some other actor. It's very old. So these guys
were old even in that.
Or he played old. I mean, they look so different back then. It was like I was watching, while we were in Vegas, there was some video showing somewhere of the original Rat Pack, which was, you know, Frank Sinatra and all those guys. And they all look like 52-year-old dudes, you know, smoking and hanging out and, hey, baby, who loves you? And all that bullshit from the 60s. And to me, it just looked like a bunch of old guys hanging out at a thing, smoking cigars and doing whatever. And I looked under it and it says shown left to right. And it has their names and their ages. Yeah. And these guys were like in their 20s.
Oh my God.
I'm like, no way, dude. Here's 26-year-old Frank Sinatra. I'm like, no, he's not. Are you kidding?
No,
he was never 26. I don't care how young he was. You were either back then, you were either a kid walking around the streets in the 20s with a couple of suspenders on going, hey, buy a paper, mister, or whatever. And then you went from that, you immediately went from that to looking like an old fart with a beard and a giant pipe and wrinkly eyes.
Yeah.
That was the way of it.
There was no transition phase. You woke up one day. It's kind of like puberty for old people. You just woke up one day and you're old.
I also heard somebody yelling on the side of a street in Vegas that the kind of skin that is on your foreskin is the same skin that's on your eyelids. He kept yelling that.
What?
Yeah.
Is he trying to make you think?
Yeah, think about it though. Like this kind of skin.
I'm thinking about it.
This is pretty much it.
Both of them are ball covers. I mean, duh.
Well, no, one of them isn't. Foreskin doesn't cover your ball.
Mine lays down on the ball.
Gross.
It covers it. Where does yours go?
Mine was off. I got mine off when I was in the hospital as a kid. But we all have little penis eyes. You just don't know it. That's all I'm saying. This is how you can tell I'm tired.
Stop yelling stuff in Vegas streets. Stop it.
No, please keep that up because we love it.
Stop trying to make us think.
There was this one part. I will say this, though, and I'm sure I'll talk about this on TMS again. But
poor Good Day Internet just came in on this, by the way.
Oh, good. This is perfect
this
timing.
This is the first of hearing. Yeah,
perfect timing, everybody. Hi, how are you doing? But we Tom was there for a few days of this thing. But anyway, we were on the strip and stuff, and I noticed in all places that used to be just really kind of gross off streets and stuff that are just like, oh, it's a sketchy, gross, dirty place, you know, so much cleaner this year. Like stuff was really clean, almost like somebody came through there and just like hosed everything off and like big areas of
everybody felt
were
dirty
gone.
After hearing about that foreskin eyeball thing.
Well, that's what I would think. But it turns out
it
was the NFL bringing the Super Bowl there has a way of really cleaning stuff that and the F1 race. Cause so if you have F1 running out down your streets, you got the NFL in town doing a Super Bowl. You don't want a dirty town. Right.
So it's kind of like when you have company over, right? It's like, yes, of course, this is how we always live. Yeah. We always have clean dishes and vacuumed floors.
And then I was like, what happened to all the homeless people? And then I found a swimming pool at the top of the plaza, and it was full of people in their clothes.
Oh, my. Get out of here.
Kidding.
So they were cocooning
up
there?
I'm making that up.
Okay.
I didn't see that.
Okay. So they weren't cocooning. Okay.
Yeah. But I did see.
When are we going to watch Cocoon?
Cocoon should be on our list. Also, that's another example. When that movie was made.
Right.
What's his name? That's the diabetes guy.
Diabetes.
What's his name?
Wilford
Brimley. He was younger. By like 3 years younger than what Paul Rudd is today when he made that movie.
What?
Yeah.
He played so old that the aliens were supposed to come get him out of the pool.
Yep.
Wasn't that the story?
Yeah. And Don Ameche was pretty old, but I think he was like straight up 50, 49, old. 50 or something was, what's his name? But he always played old. That means when he was in The Thing, he was probably what, 43 or something like that?
How old was Steve Guttenberg?
Guttenberg would have been probably in his early 30s, if I had to guess.
Early 30s.
Not sure about that. He looked about right, though, for that. But, that dude was born 70. And I drove past his old ranch on the way to Vegas this last week. He has this huge ranch out there. I don't know who has it now since he died. But Wilford Brimley had this ranch in a place called Hurricane, Utah. It's spelled like hurricane, but you don't say it hurricane. You say hurricane.
That's right.
And, that's where he used to sit around eating sugar and raising cattle. I don't know what he did there.
Don't you love how people pronounce things locally? Like, I'm right at the road from Clinton.
Oh,
it's Clinton. Not Clinton.
It's Clinton.
It's Clinton. It's Clinton.
Plus, nobody in the South wants to say Clinton because they get mad.
But yeah, we call it. But everybody calls it Clinton.
Yeah, they all hate Bill so much they have to call it something else.
Right,
Clinton. Well, anyway, there you go. That's there's that. Let's also read this. This is an email came to us at playretroshow@gmail.com. And this says, hi, Scott and Brian. This is Corey in Brisbane, Australia. He says, I just finished listening to the latest episode of Play Retro, and Scott was wishing for a modern game like Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2, but still isometric and with a little 3D models. He says, it exists. A great little game that was in early access for a while, but came out 1.0 a few years back, and now has a couple of expansions called Parkitect. It's on Steam. It's exactly what you described. Basically, a spiritual successor to Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2. Love the show, Corey. Dude, I forgot about Parkitect. I remember seeing it when it was on Steam initially under early access, and then I just completely forgot about it. It reviewed really well. It's in the 90s. Oh, look at this thing. I'm picking this up today.
Looks so good. Yeah.
Look at
this. It's $30. You could buy the deluxe edition for $44.97. But I love the name, the fact that they can keep that price at $29.99, even, what is it, 6 years later, that's pretty good. That speaks well, and it still has reviews recent that look good, too. Because I'll tell you, there was a game earlier that that Steam was trying to get me to purchase, and it was a game that I had played, I'd looked at picking up years ago, and it's down to 99 cent.
Really?
The review's not good. And I'm like, and even at 99 cent, people are going, this is the worst 99 cent I ever spent. And I'm like, okay. But Parkatite looks amazing. Look at that.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I think I'm going to get it. It's older now, but I don't care. Why do I care? I'll just get it.
Man, that's fine. It looks still modern to me, man.
Yeah, 2018, everything looks good. We made good games back then. You know, it's fine. Maybe I have a code.
Mortal Shell. That's what I was thinking of. $30 normally, 90% off for $2.99.
Yeah, what the hell's that?
Hurry now.
There's a few like that. The EA sale going on right now. They got like, it's like $2 $5 for the whole remastered trilogy of Mass Effect. That's insane.
Ooh.
That's 90% off. That's insane. Why would you sell it for that? It's just crazy.
Yeah. What do I know? I was at the thrift store today fighting a guy for PS3 games that were $3 a piece. Give me that.
Yeah, look at you. You wackadoo. Well, there you have it. Thanks for that. And also, if you'd like to text us, you can send us a text, 801-471-0462. You can also leave us a voicemail there. We'd love to have it. And now, this. Oh, do I make a thing for this? Hold on. No.
We still have the old one, like the Unreal Tournament one?
Yeah, but I want one. I want to do something new.
It was something specific. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
How about this? We'll use that from last week. I like that. That is our retro report. And Brian's going to just fill us in on what's going on. Speaking of Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 and its online component and all that stuff, what are we doing? What do we got going here?
So there's a community project called OpenRCT2 that we talked about during our Roller Coaster Tycoon episode a few weeks back. And I went down a rabbit hole and decided, since they have multiplayer in this, I set up a server. It took me about 2 weeks, but I finally got it configured. And so we'll be opening the park. Well, the park is open, technically. I've been in it playing around and things. But we're going to open it to everybody. We're going to put information on retrogib.com, retrogib.com. That's where we have all of our Unreal Tournament information. So I'm writing up a little bit of information on how to get OpenRCT2 installed, what you'll need exactly. You'll need a copy of Roller Coaster Tycoon 2. Which you can pick up. I think the Triple Thrill Pack is what it's called on Steam and Good Old Games. That will definitely get you the second one plus the packs and get you in there. There's some hoops you have to jump through if you get the Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic. I think it's the Classic.
Classic.
But that's the one I'm writing up on, because if you've already picked it up the other week, which we recommended and how I did it originally, I'll give more details. Anyway, the park is open. I put in a merry-go-round. You'll be able to log into it. There'll be a password, just like the Unreal Tournament servers. You'll be able to log in there and get on to Crazy Castle is the one we're using right now. You're going to load up. You only can load up a scenario at a time on the server. So we'll all be able to build in the Crazy Castle.
Well, let me ask you this. What's to stop somebody from like Tonda Gosa sneaking into our park and taking a big dump somewhere in the middle of the park? Like, how do you stop that kind of crap? Do we have to work together?
We don't want Tonda doing that. So it is password protected. So the only people can be getting in is our community. And if someone does screw up something, we're doing backups. So backups along the way, save the day. We just go, oh no, Tonda took a poop in the carousel.
Yeah.
And so we'll just go roll that back an hour. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've got a plan. So yeah, griefing could be a potential problem, but I think we have a pretty good community. And as long as we get to kind of keep it tight, just like the Unreal Tournament servers, we haven't had too much trouble with anybody abusing the system. So yeah, it's going to be good.
Remember that?
It'll be good.
Did you see the commercial they showed for the Prince of Persia Rogue game, the rogue-like Prince of Persia thing that's coming out?
Yes, I'm very excited.
What's it called?
Very excited.
The Rogue Prince of Persia is called. And I picked this up, or I got a code today from the dev. Let's see.
Oh.
Let's see. This is just kind of a follow-up on our Prince of Persia stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't come out until May 14th, so it looks like I got an early access thing to it, and I'm not sure what I can say about it yet, but I'm going to play it and let you know. It lets you retro players know, or you fans of old Prince of Persia, whether this is worth it or not. But it looks like they're kind of I don't know, taking the idea a lot of these games have about making roguelikes out of your run and jump Metroidvanias and making their own spin on it. So I'm kind of excited to try it out. Also, we should mention the go ahead. I was going to say
I'm sorry, apologies. I want to attach to what you just said about Prince of Persia. Jordan Mechner, the creator of Prince of Persia, has released a graphic novel called Replay. Yeah. So yeah, it talks about his four decades of making games. So some of the stuff we talked about in that episode are illustrated. He illustrated this thing. So check it out.
Did he really?
Jordan Mechner.
No way.
Creator Prince of Persia.
That's amazing.
Yeah, graphic novel. All right. Replay. Check it out.
I didn't know he was doing that. Okay, the other thing was the Discord community has been all up in the air about these Amberdink and handheld talk stuff. Join our Discord and be a part of that. If you guys are out there trying to figure out what you want to do with your handheld, or if you're trying to get one, need some advice, want to know what OS to flash onto the thing instead of what comes with it, or whether the latest and greatest is even all that good, a lot of pent-up knowledge in there right now. So join. Yeah. Be a part of our Discord community. Go to frogpants.com/Discord. Join today, and you'll find the Play Retro group as easy as anything. All right? Okay. Hey, Brian, our next game's going to be Abe's Odyssey and Abe's Exodus from the Oddworld games.
Ooh! 1 and 2 side-scrolling 2D stuff? My favorite.
PlayStation. We've had a few people say, hey, about some PS1 games. It's been a while, and they're right, it has been. So we're going to talk about these. These have massive holes in my heart. I love these games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love them then. I still like them now. I think the remakes are really good, and I wish they would do some new ones. But the old ones were incredible, especially the first two. The one that the third person kind of Western one, what was that called? Oddworld, Rage Exodus or something. What the hell is that
Rage
called?
Rage Exodus.
You even remember what that is? Shit. Anyway, it was basically a Western, but it was set in this world, and that was also an awesome game. Yes. I wish that would get a return, but that came later. These, we're talking about the 2D sprite-based, kind of out of this world slash, what was the other one that we like? The one they just made a remake of. It's all purple. Can't think of the name. Anyway, those kinds
it's
of
all purple.
Games. What? Someone in the chat will remember. What is it? Chat? Flashback. Jeez, that's it. Flashback. They're those games basically, but with this real alien twist. A lot of humor. There's even a fart button, which is real stupid. But the games themselves are great, and we're going to talk all about the origins of Abe's Odyssey and Abe's Exodus, and also some Utah connections there, because a bunch of that crap was made here. So we'll talk more about it. What else? Brian, is there anything else? Probably not, right? We got this Patreon stuff. We should talk about that. You ready for that?
Yeah.
All right.
Give me some Patreon love.
How about this? Patreon.com/playretro. We got two brand new folks this week, Robert Minton and Frank Andrushowitz. I believe is how you say his name. Big thanks to them for joining us here on the show, because now they get no commercials ever. Never an ad. Not one. No commercials, no ads, no breaks, no nothing, just pure show. And if that's not enough, how about pre-show content every week? We record that as a separate little bonus, and that gets up on the feed, and hot damn, Bob's your uncle. All right? So get in there.
Waluigi's your uncle.
That's a terrible uncle. You don't want him. He's the worst. He stinks, by the way. He also smells bad, if I had to guess. Waluigi does.
What's his laugh like?
He goes... I don't know.
So he sounds like the penguin. Okay.
You know what? Let's see if I can find it. This is fun. We're going to go get Waluigi laughing.
We've been listening to the others, so let's see what Waluigi says. He just goes, like, right?
Here he goes. This is his laugh. Wait. I'm sorry. Okay. Why isn't this working? Give me some laughs.
Mario.
It won't play. Why?
Okay. Weird.
Click it, weird thing. Hold on. Here we go.
Waluigi time.
Oh my God, that's way worse than I thought.
What else is there?
Wow,
that's what I thought. He just,
Oh yeah,
that is just like Luigi, because he does the same thing, right? He goes, especially like in Luigi's Mansion, he goes, okay.
But in this case, at least they just give him a sinister little sneer to it all, and it's fine.
Yeah,
but he's nothing like this. Wario rules. It's the freaking best. Little fat, little yellow, little bastard. He's amazing.
Mustache twirling turd.
You can't beat him, really.
Get back to your woods.
What else? That's it. Patreon.com/playretro. Please hop in. Be a part of it. If you're looking for the website and has links to everything, including that, frogpants.com/playretro. It's going to do it for me and Brian. This is what I want you guys to do. Go out there, play something retro, and we'll see you next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I'm a warrior.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.